Cemetery in Berlin, Wisconsin. There's a tombstone with a man's name on it and this epitaph. Buried 300 in 1966. Now, whatever else that guy did for his life, God said he wanted to be remembered for. What would you want to be remembered for after you die? What is your chief accomplishment? Scripture tells us that the grandest thing that we could be remembered for would be that he or she is a person who knew God and worshiped. Well, sometimes we as Christians, I think, have the idea that God saves us to work for us. Somehow God is calling people to himself because he needs more receipts to be a city. The truth is that Scripture tells us that God saves us to work for us. But that's one of the main functions of the church. And for us as a people, in order to get our lives into perspective, the primary thing must be that we worship our God. Worship is something that has been lost in large measure in one form of the modern church. A number of you have commented on this. You need to give more attention to that. Put an end to it. And you're not alone, you know. Our church is not alone in struggling with it. This week's copy of Evangelical Newsletter reports a survey that they have just recently done. They sent out a list with 9 major areas. The evangelical church, and they asked a whole number of evangelical leaders to give a report card, a scorecard, of how the church, modern church, evangelical church, 1980-81, is doing in those 9 areas. Next to the bottom, each part of notes for the key moments in worship. Howard Hendrickson said that worship is the lost cause of evangelicals. Last week, we conducted a survey. And if you rated not only your own life, but the church, in terms of those 3 functions that God tells us all the functions of the church, worship, edification, and witness. And most of you sit in your box, the lower end of the triangle, indicating that, in your opinion, worship is not one of the strong things of our church. So it's time that we get attention to it. It's time that we look at worship, and we seek to understand what worship is, how we can be a people, to be known as the people who worship in the world. Because if we don't, not only does this produce in all of the rest of our lives a new look of God, more importantly, God is one of what he wants them to do, to come to be known. The worship is sort of like having an hour. And we can continue to operate in our lives without passion. But if we always gone out of it, the rest of it becomes a kind of a business relationship. And you've got a great deal of joy, right? That's the way it is with worship. In fact, you know, this analogy of worship and love and knowledge is more than simply a passing function. There is really quite a profound analogy between the two. You know, that you can talk about love, and you can talk about worship in both broad and narrow ways. If you really want to understand what worship is, you have to see it in both its broad definition as well as its narrow definition. The same way you look at that. You know, in marriage, you can say that all of marriage is love between a husband and wife. Everything that a husband and wife do for and give each other should be out of love. And so you could say concerning worship that all of life is worship. Everything that you and I do, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we should do to the glory of the Lord Jesus, who gave life to the world. All of our lives, whether it's spending 10 times, 15 hours, 15 dinner, getting dressed, listening to the sermon, everything that we do should be an act of worship. In the sense that we have given that as an offering to God, you know, that we've given our bodies to God. But now in marriage, that whole love relationship is focused on and is given its most articulate expression in what we call the act of making love. And in the same way, our lives of worship are focused on, are articulated by the act of worship. Let me mention something that brings these two together. A leader I've got to say. come up from the outside out, the ghost is actually there on top of the mountain. No one had to come up with me. They didn't see it anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flashy birds made waves in front of them. The man just took it out, keep on top of it, like the first one. Then one up my side out, early in the morning, as the man had come out of it. And he carried the two-story tablets in his hand. And the man came down in his hand. And stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, glory to Isaac, abounding in love and faithful. Maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children, for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. And raise us down to the ground of God. He's in a picture. Moses, as he went out to the door, the Lord declared himself to Moses, and Moses was sent. You see here what is called sometimes the rhythm of worship. God speaks to us, and heals himself to us, and our response to his revelation is worship. God always initiates worship by his revealing himself to us. So what we want to look at this morning is to see the essence of that response, the essence of the act of worship itself. Now, if you see it in the context, but particularly in the words we read there in verse 8, Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. What word there that's used in verse 8, worship, is the word that's most commonly used in the Old Testament, used more than all the other words. Used more than all the rest of the words put together. The word itself literally means, as the Hebrew language is the most graphic language and all of the picture language, that is the abstract term for all of the biggest sign of the idea. If you know what worship means literally in the Hebrew, it means to prostrate yourself, to bow to the ground. That's literally what that word is. To prostrate or to bow down. And so there's a very definite physical position or posture that's associated with this. It's the posture of prostration. That is the most appropriate posture for worship. Do you think about that? And that's true because it's three things that are signified by the act of worship that I want to look at here. Three things that we are saying to God when we worship Him. And if we want to say it with body language, the best way we do it is prostrate on the ground or on the floor with our face down and our arms held forward. Because that's generally what the word worship means to do. Now, the three things that are being communicated that we're saying when we worship are, number one, you see them in the bulletin outline, higher line, and I'll go through them. The first is to give honor. To give honor. Notice where they say, Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. He put himself low. You see the word worship there, the prostrate or bow low, is linked with another Hebrew word, which means to bow down to the ground. So you could say that Moses bowed to the ground at once and prostrated himself. It would be another translation of that. And in doing that, you see the words of the prayer, you see the picture? You're placing yourself to meet the person that you're giving honor to. You're putting yourself physically in a low position. And by doing that, you are exalting the other person. But if you look in the dictionary, up there, take a look at the word exalt. The word exalt means to raise high, to lift up, to elevate in dignity, to magnify, to lift up your joy, to heighten, to be given an honor. So as you're exalting someone, it's to lift them up. And how do you lift someone up? In truth, you can do it one two ways. If you put them up on something, or put yourself beneath them. And worship means that you and I come before God and we lie low before Him, and by doing that, we exalt Him. Because you're taking our proper place at His feet. You're saying, I have no right to stand in your presence. You're saying, fire in your presence. Worship is to prostrate yourself before God. Now, you don't understand that very much, my question. You don't see that, you see. It's biblical. And yet, most other cultures have that in their Bible.
Any time, it's heading into the
You and I can never worship God without a fire in our hearts. If you and I come before God and think that we can fail and talk with Him as a body, sort of worship with our arm around us, now you and me, Lord, we really got it together here, then we have missed the whole point of worshiping. The same funny one said, no man can at one and the same time give the impression that you come and the place that made you the same. Who are you concerned to exalt the world? If you can call it to exalt yourself, to maintain your reputation and your image, you really can't answer. Only when you and I come to that call of humiliation, that call of humbling by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we can come before God and say, I'm not concerned to maintain my reputation. I'm only concerned for the reputation of Jesus. And you'll begin to understand what you're doing. You know, brought our movies, and every word about them, what are going to be? That was his way of saying, Lord, I want to give you these times to do the work. So I'm not suggesting that you ask for our reading of all the way our needs. But I'm saying that that attitude is an attitude of worship. And until you and I are concerned that we be humbled so that you be exalted, we really don't understand the essence of worship. The second thing, the worship says, is postulated ourselves first in the scriptures, is that we are recognizing our dependence on the Lord. Prostration recognizes dependence. You know this conversion that Moses bowed to the ground at once in worship and got followed by his prayer. Oh Lord, if I find favor in your eyes, you shall then, Lord, go with us. Let the Lord go with us. Our very this is a stiff neck people to give our recognition our sin. And take it with your inheritance. Moses isn't bargaining there. He's pleading. And he's pleading from a position of prostration, you know. You don't bargain from a position of prostration. Imagine you just walk into the auto dealer and you and pick out what kind of car you're going to invest your whole life savings in. And you just about come to that decision now, you're going to the final point of bargaining with the salesman about how much he's going to give you for your car and financial arrangements. And just as you sit down at his desk to begin to write up this contract and talk about the final bargain, you prostrate yourself in his feet. You throw yourself down and you just lay down in his feet and you say, now let's begin to talk about this. To really throw you out of the question, maybe you say something like, what do you want? If the one reason that a person ever comes in that position is because they're begging, not bargaining. And the scripture says, you don't bargain with him. You come before him independently. And when we worship the Lord and prostrate ourselves before him, we're communicating, Lord, I have no position to bargain with you. Lord, I am absolutely dependent on you. You see that word used to communicate exactly that thought in 1 Samuel chapter 2, to verse 36. And God has just spoken to Eli about what is going to be his judgment on Eli's prosperity because of their sin. And the Lord spoke 3 Samuel to Eli, the Hebrew prophet, to Eli, he says in verse 36, when everyone left in your family line, will come and bow before him, talking about this priest that God's going to raise up to his people. So to bow before him for a piece of silver or a crust of bread, and please, anoint me with some offer so that I can have food for you. What a bargain. To reduce your felony. And the word that is used, bow down before him, is the word that is translated worship. And that's the Old Testament scripture. And we are coming to hear Jesus Christ, we come to hear him, to worship and acknowledge him that we are absolutely dependent on the Holy Spirit. We're dependent for that one God to keep us alive. Psalm 85, verses 1 to 7, talks about how God made us. He's raised the heavens and the earth, he's seen the earth, all things are his, and then the call is, can I come before him and worship and bow down? Worship and bow down. He is people who recognize that we're dependent on him. We've been reminded of that in these past weeks. And we've seen there is much of the news about the drought in the United States. And there's all this lack of rain, and reservoirs are going dry, and there's all kinds of restrictions on water. what to do, rather. We're dependent on God to provide that. And that should produce in you and me a special way for us to depend on you for those, all the things that have faith on the civil service now. We're dependent on an office of the grace to the business in Jesus Christ. You don't deserve it, in fact, concerning your salvation. You don't earn God's favor and acceptance in your life. If you have some idea that by being here in worship this morning, you're gaining a few points in heaven, that somehow by offering God to worship, you're earning something from Him, then you've missed the essence of worship. If you and I come before God in front of God, we come before God and we say, Lord, there is nothing I have to bargain with. Lord, there's nothing I have in my life to offer you. It's all desire, it's all disobedience. The only thing that I have to do is to do. Jesus, the one who came and took my place, the one who came and suffered and died as a substitute for my sin, so God punished him for what I deserve. And if you come before God and see what Jesus has done, and have your whole God prospered only to receive, really begin to understand the blessing. If it does not slide on our face, we have our whole God, we understand how I can do in that position. Don't I give anybody something for prostrate position? Yes. All you can do when you're prostrate is to receive. That's the essence of the position. All we can do is to receive very surprising. Receive the salvation that you've freely given to us. We heard about so long last week about how it's possible. The freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Why? Because salvation is something we receive. One object is worship. That understanding of freedom that we have in Christ that produces in us the worship that joyfully casts ourselves to the God of the Lord Jesus, there's nothing I can ask for. So works my heart, awesome, and Lord Jesus. So what kind of faith is that to come? It's a contradiction of faith. We all have within us that Christ has said, I can do it myself. You know? We need to get into the point where we're beginning to feed himself. God wants to do it himself. That's his prayer, but that's what he says every time he's trying to feed him. He wants to do it in here and now and you and those and all. But he can do it himself. That's what he wants to do. And you and I have spent so much time in our lives that if he goes out like this, then Lord, I can do it myself. And I say, why don't you just come before me and acknowledge your dependence? Come before me and acknowledge that you need me. Don't try to think that you're growing up and presuming yourself. Thank you. description of what that word means in given submission. In Isaiah 52, verse 22, God is talking about all of Israel's enemies. He's lorded it over them. God says, I'm going to revenge them. If there is a coming of the Messiah, that you're going to have victory instead of defeat. And he decides what he says, and this is what the sovereign Lord says, your God, who defends his people, see, I have taken out of your hand the cup that made you stagger. From that cup, the goblet of my wrath, you will never drink again. And I will put it into the hands of your tormentors, the cup of wrath. He said to you, fall prostrate that we may walk over you. Make your back like the ground and like the sleep to be walked over. That word there, fall prostrate, that you may walk over. Fall prostrate is the word worship. It's used in palms and many places in our country. It's the word worship. It means to give submission. Make your back like the ground, because the one that you are lying before is the one who is your conqueror. He's the one who has conquered your life, and you are his defender. He's put on your life. But you know, in the ancient Near East and other countries, the sign of surrender was to place your neck under the patriot's foot. And by doing that, you see your sin guard over. That's what ancient worship is. When you and I worship, we say, Lord, place your foot on my neck. I am totally vulnerable to you. I belong to you. My life is yours. Worship and disobedience, if they don't. I can't worship them, and they say, but I want to learn my life. Because the answer to worship is to say, Lord, be with me what you want to do. See the third part of our view expressed in Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, the same word is used. God says, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, verse 27. All the families of the nations will bow down before him, for he is a need. The dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. He's the master of all. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. Even the rest are going to lie pasture. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who stand in his feet will turn to life. You and I are fully with his decision because he made us. He bought us. We belong to him. Think of a picture you see that you get from Shogun, the way you saw that. Maybe you have his major black shirt and green. The Japanese ruling says his soul, he's boss. And what do? They have a lie pasture for him. And if they do that, they take advantage of that community to master them. All the master of them. The Japanese ruler and Blackthorn prostrated himself before him, took advantage of that to humiliate him, and ruin him to one of them. And now it's hard to worship him alive at the end. So that it is really hard to take a hold of our lives and move from what he wants to do. We don't lie before one who's going to take advantage of it, and Jesus is saying, worship and lie at my disposal. Ah, now I have you where I want you. Now I'm going to send you to the deepest South Africa, and I'm going to take away from all your families, and I'm going to do everything that you possibly could not work. And if you have points A, B, and C, and you say, these are three ways of serving the Lord, you know that you took the one C that's the least desirable, because that's what I want you to do. That's what my master needs. He can look at him. And he is tender. He can see what is perfect is all for him. He can only ever understand when we're really to know what he should say. He can think it's nothing to worship. When he talks to you at the word of peace, the possible word for worship here, the one I talk to you about the word, is a word that's also translated in a number of places that you have in your book outlined by the word prayer. And it means to be mad at Jordan for the wicked king. The word is used of Jesus in the book of Isaiah as the servant of the Lord. The view of our mind is the wicked. So if you're going to worship him, that means you can't go to the cross. That means you've got to go there and put a death to yourself and say, Lord, I can't worship you and keep to run my own way. Disobedience is contrary to worship. The one who raised your life is the one who really worships. Who is the value of your life this week? Who is the value of your life this week and the decisions that you made and the basis on which you made them? How did you decide what things you were going to do with him? Was it what would please the Lord? Was it worship to him? Were the things you simply bring you from? The things that you want? Where are the answers? That's the way I want to do it. Unless I'm willing to say, Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? What do you want to do in this situation? Because what did you do to find out? What did you mean by saying, Lord, am I willing to give you the honor in my life? Am I willing to confess and affirm my dependence on you in your life? And am I willing to learn what you do to find out? God, if you're alive, to see the Lord Jesus with me, to see God as Moses saw, and as I respond to the famous Moses, the tradition of my peace, the power of right to the ground, and the right to the ground. Sometimes I suggest that you say seriously this week, especially when you talk before the Lord. Sometimes it's deep when you're reading a story. If you've never done it before, I don't know if you've ever tried it before, but because it is so clear in Scripture that the Lord is talking to you, Pastor, I am not saying that's the only way you can answer. And in case you're getting nervous, I am not going to institute as our form of worship for the rest of the time, but I'm going to prostrate ourselves on the red line worship. You see, it's the attitude of our heart that God is really concerned about. But just to communicate something. You hug somebody, and that communicates something without words. You take someone's hand, and that communicates something. You talk to somebody like this, and that communicates something. Just as you're shut out, as you're standing there with your arms folded, or maybe you're in the cold, usually it communicates to the person if you're not receptive to them, as opposed to standing and holding with your arms folded. Now, what I've encouraged you to do is, you want to have a sense that offering honor, your dependence on, and all of his disposal. Physically, lay yourself on the floor. Lay down on the floor, put your face down, and hold to his leg out, and then begin to talk to the Lord about being there. Talk to him about any questions you have. Don't do something to your heart in the corner. You know, what you might ask yesterday, understand that most of you, all that the Lord can give you, to the people, to give him a life. He will give him that faith that with now we can confess our dependence on him. Now we have to thank him. Because he loves him, he worships him, and he sees that he's going to be a father. Anything else, he's taking the testimony of the testimony of our testimony. How about the suggestion that in order to at least fill this time, I would receive a good old pastor. I know that if you did that, then I'll give you something else. You know, you say surprises about anybody else doing this, and such a softening story, and you'd all be so self-conscious about it, and you would lose all its value. So, how about this suggestion? Your second best would be that you appear before them. Probably no story to read about them in a different story. Not exactly that special issue, no. Christians have not prepared the Lord in words of beginning, so we don't have the room to do it, but I think we don't. You could at least, for those who are physically able, and we're going to do this at our eyes closed, and we'll be looking around, see everybody, you know what I mean. How about this thing? A couple of minutes. Well, we're going to perform the Lord now. 2 minutes. You just come and sit, kneel down, and hold on to the same side of your hand. If you go to prayer now, let's ask Tom, and if you can do this, let's kneel and follow our eyes closed for 2 minutes. Communicate our giving to him, his honor, and the dependence on him and the commission that he can do. Eyes closed now. Let's go to the Lord now. Lord, our God, too bad it's going on. Not because it's cheap. Not because it's different. Not because it's there's an interesting experience. Lord, because we live a different life, that's the difference. you are so eminently worthy. Every time we see a flower, every time we see a little bird, every time we see an animal, every time we see the clouds in the sky, the sun, when we see rain, we see the sun, we see all the things about it. We're so glad to see the sun. We know that we're not out there. So we're going to buy this one now. I'll give you that one. We give you that one because we don't have any rain. It's still in the middle. That is the only appropriate position for us if we are not able to do it, and we have to do it like that for us. Or do you let us pick up the cards and ask us to do it like that? We don't have much of a sense of the whole world of action. Father, we live in a democracy and we're telling you the truth. And the guys and the biggest and the guys 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 and the guys. My dear and my father, we have taken away much of the other time that we can say music. All of you done before me. Thank you for the fact that you are absolutely dependent. Lord, we would put our necks under your feet. We would place ourselves tenderly to the Savior. He will work with you. We want all of you to have a good life before us. Lord, in each of our own ways now, we want to simply give you part of life that is worth giving to us all that we need, and having control of our own spirit if we want to do so. Father, for the Billy Graham teacher, that you would richly use that in these months ahead to separate these souls out, to serve our youth, to make all the more spiritually hungry and hungry. Our friends that we're talking to, Father, that they would spend a time to feel about Jesus Christ, help us, Father, in our participation and our acceptance of our things we're done now, that it's hard to keep us, where to Jesus Christ and worship Him, and we pray that this means. Father, we pray also for that patient, God. We pray that you would heal the division for us. We pray for this special meeting tomorrow night, Father, that you would bring about a reconciliation, that you would not continue to be that disagreement. Father, we bow before you because we can't bargain and we can't force you. All we can do is do that before you in the name of Jesus and ask you to do with you. Father, we pray for reconciliation. This would not take a chance, but it would be peaceful, agreement, to involve the first meeting. Father, we pray for our country, for our president, as he continues to formulate things and work out some of the steps to do. I've decided to take part of his time to be surrounded with having leadership through the control with justice and mercy. Father, we pray that you would direct his steps, that you would give to him understanding of your will, in a way that's not simply subject to all the pressures that he receives. promote, govern, and ministry without fighting the way that I know God. Father, we thank you in the name of the one who ministers and motivates all the world. We do it on our knees, Father, because you are all in this today. And your glory is so true. We give you that honor in Jesus' name.